Welcome back, students. Let us discuss purchasing policy and procedures in chapter 6. The term policy includes all the directives that take care of objectives and goals of the organization and that designate appropriate means used to achieve them. Every company will have a policy which will be the direction on which the entire organization and functions to move on. So as the entire processes are defined in the policy, which is important to achieve the objectives. Most of the organization sets the policies much in detail and the directives of the executive management. These policies provide guidance and keep restrictions on behavior of personnel. For an example, a safety policy which ensures or defined in such a way so as any activity within the organization is taken care of utmost, all the processes to ensure safety is at the prime responsibility of every personnel in the organization. It restricts the personnel to do which are unsafe. So this is one example of a policy defined as a guidance to operate in an organization. Let us get into purchasing policies provide the basis of actions on the part of purchasing professional. What it defines in purchasing policies, how the company prescribes purchasing activities within the organization, defining the roles and responsibility of each personnel related to purchase and materials management, ensure their key deliverables are defined as an objective based on the company's overall objective. They also provide guidelines how to deal with new situations and emergencies. It defines in case of emergency or urgency in getting materials within the organization, what are the processes to be followed, how we can overcome situations which are unforeseen earlier. They also refer to the standard operating procedures, it's also called SOP, to define the rules and the games to ensure the functional objective is achieved so as within overall organizational goal is also achieved. While policies are normally documented in the manual, there can exist some unwritten policies too. Most of the policies are defined in detail to give a guidance to operate on. It is license to operate. The entire SOP is defined based on the policies given to a function so as to the activities related to the function is defined step by step, act by act, deliverable versus deliverable to achieve what is intended to do. Such informal policies are created over a span of time and rare part of the organization base of life. So we said some of the policies are not documented, but it is more of a culture of the organization. So it is followed by everyone and it is most of the time mandatory. Written and implied policies define top management objectives. Every policy at the stage when it is emerging in an organization, it's a company policy, so as it is a high-end policy which defines the principles on which the company is operating. And also this is defined based on the management objectives to achieve the end goal. Management should develop a series of high-level policy statements so that employees at all levels get proper guidance. Policies provide a framework for consistent decision-making. If policy is established, it should not be the hindrance to operate. It should be the guidance to ensure what is deliverable, what is the framework on which the decision making is taken place, whether it is purchase, manufacturing, logistics, billing, warehousing, and finally to service the customer. And if effective policy is always relevant and concise, it is never ambiguous. It means there is no ambiguity of the policy. So as it is defined well in such a way, So everything is consciously done and everyone precisely understand each and every statement within the policy. Policies are always timely and current. It means the policies are always drafted based on the situation needed and mostly and firmly define what the company stands for. It is also reviewed time to time, and that is to ensure the policies are not outdated and represent the company's current situation and the technology it is adopted. If a policy is confusing or outdated, people will ignore it. If the policy is not helping the people to operate for the purposes on which they are working in the organization, the policy is always been neglected. To ensure such policies should be continuously reviewed, updated and approved by the top management. Let us get into purchasing policy. The policy commits the organization. It means when we define the purchase policy, it should come in to the organization what is the objective of the company and what way the purchasing activity can contribute to the organization. All individuals involved in purchasing and supply management process within the organization have to use their best endeavor to ensure that our purchasing and contract activities are legal, accountable and auditable, ethically, environmentally and socially responsible, economically effective. Legal in the sense, while we define the policy which are to define the purchase activities, it should be legal in all sense. Accountable and auditable, any time each and every activity in the policy is defined, who is accountable for, and it is also auditable at any time. Ethically, environmentally and socially responsible, which is self-explanatory. Economically effective. As we discussed in earlier stages, purchase activity is very, very critical activity where we spend 50 to 60% of the revenue to ensure objective is achieved. It means it should be very economical and effective to deliver the output based on the policy defined. Conducive to maintaining the organization's ability to exploit appropriate technological, commercial and organizational developments as they arise. The policy should help to the individual how he can optimize the resources and activity within the organization and get best of these solutions. Capable of identifying, minimizing and managing risks that may threaten the supply chain or the wider organization. Open to continuous improvement and development by the training, development and support of staff. The policy is to be defined in such a way, it is looking always a continuous improvement in the activity which are followed by the purchase activity, and also looking individual developments, the need of training and development of the functions and provide them the specialized skills which we talked about to ensure they are delivering optimally the purchase activities. It is the purchasing department's objective that as far as is within their power, it will only employ suppliers and contractors who subscribe to and operate on a similar principle. What does it mean? The objective of the purchase policies are within their own functions. It will only employ suppliers and contractors who subscribe to and operate on a similar principle. It means the policies are also to be extended beyond the organization so as it is enforced at the suppliers and contractors end as well. It means the perspective behind this is legality and accountability and auditability are non-negotiable. Any given time, no policy is illegal. Secondly, accountability and auditability are not at all avoidable. It is non-negotiable act. Everyone ensured to create in the policy that accountability and auditability is well defined within the parameters. There are no circumstances in which it is permissible for the purchasing activity or those engaged in it consciously to break or knowingly to risk breaking the laws that apply. There are no circumstances in which it is permissible to requisition or buy goods or services or commit the organization's fund without documenting the transaction in such a way that at a future date it is impossible to determine who requested, who made the request or approved it, who created that, how this negotiation happened, the purpose of the expenditure, the process by which all key decisions are arrived at, and by whom, and the destinations of any goods or services received and of any payments made. So it is very clear the policies are to help purchasing activity more transparent in such a way, so the activities are well defined and the SOP is also defined as per the process parameters. The procedures that derives from these policy statements are designated to provide a framework within which conflicts, if any, can be managed in a legal and accountable manner. If there is a conflict at the time of purchasing, the policy should be the guidelines to ensure why that kind of conflicting decision taken place, so as it is all recorded and appropriate approvals are obtained, it is available for auditing any time. The overall principle to be adopted in such conflicts may be that we will use the best available procedure, not entailing excessive cost. In this process, when we define the policies, it should be always optimal cost, get the best product, best time, best place. Policy regarding buyer-seller relationship number one. Buyer-seller relations are essential for economic success of the company. It is not that we go and buy a product in the market, so there is no relation established. These are all for branded and non-branded products. But buyer-seller relation is very critical and essential when, as a manufacturing unit, buying from a supplier or a vendor, it is important the relationship is critical to understand each other's capability and knowledge and know-how, so as economically both companies are successful in delivering the results. Relations based on mutual trust and respect will enhance the purchasing effort. If we understand the supplier and vendor well, and the vendor understand the company well, so naturally there will be a consent and understanding and also the mutual trust established. This ensures each will work for the benefit of both organizations. We must treat supplier fairly and integrity and dignity. Supplier is an extended organization. It means the relationship helps to establish an understanding between the vendor and supplier, and also to ensure we treat them with full honor. We must support and develop the supplier who works sincerely to improve quality and on-time delivery, to reduce the cost and to improve on other key research areas. At the time of selecting the vendor, one of the critical factors is his know-how, his knowledge, which is important to do our designing activity, as well as to ensure he is flexible, adaptable our requirements, so as to ensure he delivers a quality product and again on time and also optimal pricing to ensure our final products are again cost effective. Policy regarding buyer-seller relationship number two. We must provide prompt payment to supplier. It is important that any organization survives based on the revenue generated, so as the working capital and cash flow is maintained optimally to ensure their profitabilities are achieved. So as every commitment as per the contract or agreement to be fulfilled by both parties. We have to encourage the supplier to submit innovative ideas with joint sharing of benefits. We discussed in many part of the earlier slides as well, the vendor and supplier is a key person in the organization to ensure a lot of innovative ideas and plans are executed with his own innovative inputs time to time. We must involve them in our quality meetings, research and development meetings, and discussions on new designs. The trust which once established with our supplier and vendor, it is important to involve them in our internal meetings to ensure he is part and parcel of our objective and deliverables. We must create open communication channel with the supplier. Any discussions among the supplier and the manufacturing activity is critical, so as we should be open all type of communication channel to ensure the contact is established with the supplier at any given time. Policy regarding buyer-seller relations number 3. It is necessary that selection of supplier takes place only after reviewing all the criteria. Supplier selection criteria should include price competitiveness, how good he is with his peers, how good he is managing his cost so as he is offering the best price and without compromising the quality, so on, time delivery, and he is very innovative so as he gives a lot of innovations in his processes and share his thoughts and ideas with us, and he is technically competent and management capability and ability to form a team with the customer. He is able to engage with our manufacturing team and able to provide his own thoughts and ideas, and financially sound. He is never get stuck anywhere in financial matters to ensure whatever we stated in the previous points. Policy regarding buyer-seller relation number 4. The process for selecting and awarding purchase contract covers following topics. How do we define an awarding a purchase contract to a vendor or supplier? What are the process involved in that? Process of analyzing sealed competitive bids. It means whatever the vendor is providing along with his competitive industry fellow, with his competitive bidding, so as it is analyzed in detail. Process of awarding the purchase contractor to other than lowest bid supplier. Operating guidelines relating to the negotiations of contract with supplier. We should depend on negotiated longer term agreement rather than of just competitive bids. It means we discuss about the relationship doesn't end with the product pricing and offer, but also engaging other activity related to manufacturing or assembling activity within the organization. Policy regarding buyer-seller relationship number 5. At the time of strike, at the supplier end, it is necessary for the buyer to establish an additional source during the interruption. The policy can provide details about the issue in the contract with the supplier, such as during the strike at the supplier's end. To suspend temporarily or any other purchases happening outside the supplier's purview is part of the contract. To suspend any outstanding orders, to remove company-owned tooling from the supplier premises. It is important to safeguard our investment in supplier end and also to avoid any losses of production and manufacturing. This kind of points to be incorporated in the agreement or the contract. The company also has arrangements with other associate companies who can help to supply the necessary parts from the established supplier. the established supplier also to help us in case of a strike or lockout or any other situation which are unwarranted at the supplier end, and he is to establish and provide inputs and necessary parts and supply from established another supplier for the purpose of uninterrupted production. Policy regarding buyer-seller relationship number 6. The policy about ideas provided by supplier, the buyer accept the proposal and ideas from supplier with no liability to the provider of ideas. The supplier has to sign a waiver releasing the buyer from liability, if any. It means it is sharing of knowledge and there is no direct contract or any financial commitment or compensation towards such ideas to the manufacturer. Seller relationship number 7. The supplier should submit cost reduction ideas during the early phase of new product design. At the time of selecting vendor, we discussed about involving a vendor or supplier to design a new input, so as at the time of going for production, there can be an optimized supplies based on the final design in association with the seller. This policy will provide guidance about the extent of financial obligation to supplier whose ideas were not accepted. Policy regarding buyer-seller relationship 8. New product development. Many companies have created policy manual. Various departments within the organization like engineering, marketing, manufacturing and purchasing have involved in the creation of such documents. This manual details the steps for developing a new product and in the processes and the time involved and when and how the supplier should be part of it. So there are many companies follow a gate process. There are multiple gates through which a new product introduction goes through. So at that in appropriate in which gate process the vendor to be involved in the new product development is defined in the policy document. The policy may specific joint product development policies and criteria for sharing patents. See, it is important to maintain the secrecy or the inputs of our final product while we involving our vendors. There should be a criteria for sharing patents with the vendors. So it is important the seller should know the implication related to keeping the secrecy of such information shared with the seller. Buyer-seller relationship number 9. Supplier relationship management software. There are many supplier related software available today. So we can integrate such tools to establish a right management of supplier visibility, so as what he does and where what he is doing, so as we will get our products based on our scheduling. Materials to be supplied in returnable containers in which there are fixed quantities and the containers to be taken back by supplier in the return trip. Again, a policy to be defined when there is a recycling of packaging material which are not adding much value to the final product but only used for recycling purposes. So these kind of definitions can be part of policy. Material must be in time specified in SRM. The supplier himself must guarantee quality and quantity. So as we stated earlier that we have to establish a good trust between the supplier and vendor, so as many of our time spending to verify the quality specified by the purchase order. So we need a supplier and vendor who should guarantee and self-certify for the quality and the quantity of for the product to ensure to optimize our inventory holding at our places. Supplier will be fully responsible for the quality and quantity of the material. It is very important the supplier is responsible in each stage of the supplies made by him till it our final product is rolled out. It is critical. He is responsible and accountable for the quality and the quantity of the material supplied by him time to time. Policy regarding the conduct of purchasing people. This is within the organization. The management must control unauthorized or excessive visits or contacts with the supplier because it creates additional tension to the supplier. The relationship is between the purchase manager or purchase agent and the supplier is very critical, as at the same time without intervening too much of supplier's activities. One's policy should be to avoid business transaction with the supplier with whom the former employees are working. This is self-explanatory. Policy regarding the conduct of purchasing people too. Opposition to reciprocity, ethical behavior, corruption, dealing such as accepting bribes from supplier, accepting late bids, owning a stack in supplier's company, favoritism, etc. are not the normal way of bidding business. The policy should be prohibit such dealings and create a procedure to get these dealings reported in time. Policy regarding role and authority of purchasing department. This set of policies defines the authority of purchasing department. It addresses the objective of the purchasing function and defines the responsibility of the various buying levels. Personnel at all levels must know the authority of purchasing in order to represent organizational interests. The policy describes the area where purchasing authority does not exist. It means the policy can exclude purchasing from buying real estate, medical insurance policies, etc. So what we are talking about purchase department's authority, what they should do and what they should not. We have to define the policy related to purchasing department in detail, which address objective of the purchasing function and the responsibility at various buying levels. Policy regarding environmental issues. These policies include use of recycled material, strict compliance with local and state central regulations, proper disposal of waste materials and hazardous waste, prohibition on producing ozone depleting substances such as halon and foul smelling gases. Buyers must consider suppliers' ability to comply with environmental regulation as a precondition for selection. It is important when we are associated with our suppliers and vendors, it is to ensure these vendors and suppliers follow all the precautions as per the environmental clearances and requirements, as well as material handling processes of hazardous and wastes, and also producing only those are legally permitted to produce. Policy regarding supporting and developing local sources of supply. It is a good policy to support small and local suppliers and give business to them as far as possible. So it is the benefit of the company. A small setup of supplier can be contacted for various components or selective components to ensure we get an optimal pricing, at the same time also helping the small organization or small setups can establish for a larger and bigger organization later. These suppliers face many problems such as lack of capital, inability to attract qualified managers, etc. As any small organization will have a problem of capital which to be deployed, and also many times they may have resources they are not qualified. These suppliers run a business that is fully or partially owned by an individual. These are all mostly a private concerns or a small partnership functions. Establishing as a new activity to go further for a long run. The policy states that these suppliers should receive a fair and equal opportunity in participating in the purchase process. As we stated, we have to follow a bidding process, whether he is an established vendor or supplier or a small setup. Both should be given equal opportunity in taking part of the bids and also providing the services or materials required by the organization. Related to hazardous material, purchasers must take active role in controlling hazardous waste. See, it is very important in a setup where either it is a byproduct or the product itself is hazardous at the time of producing. We have to take care of and defining the processes to manage hazardous material including the waste. It is necessary for the organization to be ISO 14000 certified to engage in global business transaction. Many companies now going global, it is important that all the processes defined in ISO is followed in total. It helps to define their policies to standard operating procedures defined in ISO 14000 and certified and audited time to time, which is very important as part of a purchasing activity. ISO 14000 certification requires a company to establish an environmental management system to deal with environmental issue. See, global warming is one subject which is being spoken many times. Every organization is to look internally how they are contributing to the environment so as they are not damaging the environment further. Let us discuss about policy regarding suppliers' responsibility for a defective material. What is defined here is, this policy outlines supplier responsibility for defective material shipments or other types of non-conformance. It details the various chargeback costs for which suppliers are liable in the event of non-conformance. If the product is non-conform or defective, there are two elements to look at. One is our downtime of our production scheduling so as the product is not getting ready to move out. Second is handling of such defective materials which occupies either a space or it may be hazardous. So how to handle this? So undefined supplier's responsibility towards to ensure alternatives are serviced immediately as well as if it is hazard, it is moved out appropriately for disposal purpose. These costs include cost of rework. Either the product need to be reworked if the defect is huge. Repacking for return shipment, the products are again to be repacked for returning to the vendor. Additional material handling costs, as we stated, you have to have a storage, you have to have a logistics activity, you have to have a manpower to return the material to the vendor. Costs associated with the loss of production or delay in production, which also we discussed about. If there is a cost involved in delaying our supplies as well as loss of customer, this is very, very critical and important. As an organization, we can't lose a single customer. Policy regarding comparison of purchase item. Management should continuously evaluate purchase item by periodically reviewing cost, quality, on-time delivery, technological comparisons, and so on. Thereby, buyers can determine if the suppliers still maintain their market leadership and competitiveness. Other policies. Compliance with laws and regulations. Policies to define how we are compliant with the laws and regulation to avoid any kind of eventuality later. Restrictions on source selection outside the purchasing function. The source of the vendor as well as the supplier need to be outside the purview of other function. It is restricted to purchase functions only. Proper disposal of material assets. Many times we may need to dispose the assets which are not non-performance assets or non-productive assets. So purchase departments to define the policy of disposal of such assets. Legal right of the purchasing function to terminate a purchase contract or order. Every contract or agreement need to define this class so as legal right of the purchasing function to terminate any contract or order. Responsibility of the supplier for premium transportation cost. If there is an urgency and there is a delay or defects from the vendor end, we have to ensure the transportation cost of such products and services are part of supplier's contract. Supplier requested changes in contractual terms and conditions. Sometimes suppliers may request changes in the contract, contract and conditions, but it should be within the framework defined by the policy. Supplier use of trademarks and logos. We should ensure whether legally the supplier can use our trademark or logos so as he is not using it inappropriately. Purchasing procedures. These are the operating instructions detailing the functional duties or tasks. The procedures are defining more in detail, like standard operating procedure, how we do the purchasing activity from design to final input. A procedure manual gives how to perform various functional duties or tasks. A large purchasing department may have hundreds of procedures detailing the accepted practice for carrying out an activity. These are all detailed step-by-step processes defined in various groups and forms to ensure this is understood appropriately by the purchasing function. The manual is a reference guide for purchasers, especially new employees. If any employee is coming into the organization, first he needs to understand the policy of the company and then the procedures and processes, so as it is much easier to get into the act much faster. The simplifying procedure should be a goal. So if you look at the company policy and so as the procedures and processes, it should be more simple to understand so as everyone follow it and achieve the final goal. You are seeing a purchasing procedure flow chart. It's starting from receiving requisition, check stock. If there is in stock, requisition is filed. Not in stock, obtain and evaluate quotes. Supplier on approval list, yes, send to purchase order to supplier and copies to receiving. Follow up, receive product, inspect, verify. If it's okay, to stock or job. If it is not okay, refer to non-confirming activities. Similarly, if a supplier is not on approval list, choose another supplier. Again, initiate supplier approval process, send purchase order, follow up, receive product, inspect and verify. If okay, to stock or job. If not okay, refer to non-confirming activities. With this process definition, thank you.